Welcome to a very special episode of the Deadlock Podcast. This is episode number 4, and we're going to be covering the WWE Clash of Champions pay-per-view that just went off the air. My name is James. I'm one of the co-founders of Deadlock, and we'll be joined by the other two co-founders, Marcus and Tony. Marcus making his triumphant return. We break down pretty much everything from this show, from Seth and Braun starting the show, to Charlito and Bayley, to Seth and Braun again, to The Fiend, to pretty much everything in between. Luke Harper coming back, lots of cool stuff to talk about. So let's not waste any time and get right into the mix. The boys are back in town. I don't know how that became the start of every one of these, but it's kind of what I'm going with, so we're keeping it. We are back once again, and we're doing a very special episode post-Clash of Champions for the WWE as they had a pay-per-view tonight. Of course, thankfully, Marcus is back in the mix tonight. We have the original cast of Tony Pizza Guy and Marcus Stevenson. Welcome back, fellas.
Yo.
This is the original crew. The OC is back. The original crew for Deadlock.
Listen here, dude. The OC tonight, they were in the pre-show. They didn't do nothing crazy. That match was, I was kind of disappointing. I wanted AJ and Cedric to go 20 minutes, man. I wanted them to go an hour.
That was the one match. That was the one match I was looking forward to before the card. And then 15 minutes before the show started, I turn on the pre-show. That match is on.
That match is on, and there's a timer in the corner that says, in 7 minutes, we're going to watch.
Exactly. I'm like, this is some bullshit.
Back in, boys. It's time to go home. We got to get to the main show.
Man, it's kind of sad that AJ's kind of turned into a cog in the wheel sort of thing, you know? He's like, I'm going to do this
match.
That's
what's happened.
And I'm going to go stream on Mixer. Catch me playing Madden, boys.
We just got to get it through our heads that his best matches are behind him. Same with Finn Balor. Like, all those good match days are just gone. Like, it's just,
famous wrestler once said by the name of Asuka, but I'm YouTuber now. And that's just exactly.
I thought you were going to do the Stone Cold analogy. I'm just a cog in the wheel. You take that cog out. You put a new cog in.
That's too old school. We got to keep it modern for modern fans.
Now AJ sign up for the Madden Challenge on Cheddar Esports.
Cheddar Esports. What
on
the?
Cheddar?
Got to get that money.
Did they have any other pre-show matches for this one? I only saw AJ versus
Cedric.
They had Drew Gulak, Humberto, and I think Lince Dorado. Gulak, can I just say really quick, is top 5 most gorgeous men in WWE right now.
Say top 5, period.
It depends on how much you take looks into the factor of a professional wrestler. If it's a lot, then yeah, he's probably top 5. I mean, the man's just got, he's got the dimples, he's got the jawline, he's just a
nice
hangman,
though.
Humberto over hangman, dude. All
hangman looks like a horse.
Repeat gimmicks here.
So that match was Humberto doing.
To the main show, because I know we didn't know. I know nobody here watched Humberto versus
Humberto does split-legged move, elbow drop. I think it was split-legged something. Gulak threw him out. Gulak gets the win.
You're reading Meltzer's report right
now. I'm a ghoul for Gulak.
Tubby tweeted the play-by-play. That's what you're doing.
For a better 205 Live, I'm telling you.
Look, Drew Gulak.
Gulak is the man.
Drew Gulak said that Dragon Ball Z is better than Naruto, and there's a reason why nobody saw this pre-show match, and it's that exact reason. You cop. I know that Drew Gulak is a cop. Oh my god! What the fuck? Maki Ito just followed me on Twitter! My god!
Hold on.
What is going on?
I gotta validate this.
Oh my god! That's incredible, man. What is going on? Wow.
Now make a tweet about
on
it
the
and
podcast.
Then you get unfollowed.
What is happening right here? Oh my god. It's because I posted a fucking meme over like 15 minutes ago. Oh man.
Holy shit.
On your shitposting account?
Yeah, no. This is on my main account. And then I scrolled. Okay. She scrolled down and she saw the girth, man. She's like, wow. He kind of looks like Humberto.
Saw the profile photo.
You and Melissa Joan Hart. There you go.
Oh man. What a
Melissa Joan Hart unfollowed me, by the way, which I'm still sad about.
It's because you lied about watching the Drew Gulak match. She said, Shut up, you mark.
It's because I made fun of Kevin Nash one time and he blocked
me. You made fun of Kevin Nash?
Okay, what? I didn't make fun of Kevin Nash.
Big Sexy explains that all this, like, that's it.
No.
That's the flash
I said I would love for the Raw reunion to be Kevin Nash talking about how him and Scott Hall changed the business and made it better for the boys and gave everyone guaranteed money, and then that's when he blocked me. I don't know
and
why
Melissa
he blocked
me. Kevin Hart's like, that's it.
That's it. Because Kevin Nash just wants to talk about gun control. He wants to talk about real shit now. He's done talking about this wrestling stuff.
I just want him to sit there and talk about how him and Hall changed the business. That's all I want to hear.
All I want to hear is Kevin Nash standing up for everybody. This is my Kevin Nash, man. I could not be more happy with Kevin Nash in his current state. He is like one of the only dudes that I watched back in the day that like turned out to be a good ass dude. I was like, out of anyone, I'm like, wow.
Kevin Nash is like the last
is
one.
That guy. That's crazy.
And I never expected it either.
Exactly. He turned out to be the man. Him and Batista. Him and Batista are like the best.
Especially.
That's insane, man. That, like, honestly,
I stand
insane.
With Batista.
They had a Gears 5.
And for some reason.
Did you see the Gears 5 commercial?
No, some reason. Yeah,
it was dope. It was dope.
That was dope. That was cool.
I'm not going to buy an Xbox for it, but it was dope.
You can play
on a PC, brother.
Not my Mac. No.
Yep, you're right. You cannot. I done told you. Get yourself a PC, motherfucker. You got to get yourself a PC.
No, hey, I told you guys about the last Xbox I bought. It was the Gears 4 Special Edition. It broke after 5 tries.
I love the later 360s that came out. Like I still got the R2-D2 one. The Star Wars one where it goes beep, boop, 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 beep when it turns on.
Cute. That's cute.
Hell yeah, that's why I got it.
That's cute.
It still
man.
Makes that annoying noise whenever I turn it on. It was cool at first, but you know, 6 years later, I'm tired of hearing it. So.
Best R2-D2 sound is that, wow!
I think it does that when it red rings a death battle. I'll tell you when it happens. I'm waiting on it. So before we get into the rest of the show here, I just want to say thank you to everyone who has watched the Deadlock podcast so far, because it has been nothing short of a fantastic success. I think we just hit like 2,000 views already, which is that's like 2,000 downloads. That's a lot. That's crazy.
Round of applause for all the big boys out there.
Hell yeah. Shouts out to Humberto keeping me going every day.
All right, so Drew Gulak, he throws Humberto out
of
the ring.
No, you didn't watch it. Leave it alone.
I saw it. It's okay, James. James,
that's
it's okay.
That's the only note he wrote.
Yeah,
that's the only note he wrote.
Yeah, just the
that's
Drew Gulak. He said, I got it.
He's like, if I just repeat this, people will think I watched it.
Listen, James, it's okay watch WWE products on the WWE Network. It's okay.
I agree. Free for new subscribers. Get you some product today.
Did you know also this was the one night of the year where all championships were on the line?
I can't believe
it. Buy one shirt on the shop, get another one free, limited time.
No, now it's 40% off all title belts.
Buy some skills,
brother.
I will give them this much. The commercial for the SmackDown Fox thing was nice.
That's great.
That's the first time I've seen it. I think they've shown it before. But that was the first time that I've
ever
shown
it
tonight. Yeah, that was sweet. I thought that was good.
I saw SmackDown all day today. It was all over NFL Sunday, all over it.
Oh, they're getting into the mix, huh? They're getting into the mix.
There must have been, I mean, you know, I watched two games. There must have been four spots, like full 30s.
I actually saw tweets about it. Did the commentators like talk? We love the champion. I saw that.
Oh
tweet.
Yeah, no, they absolutely did. They had like integration too. Like when someone would take someone down, they'd be like, and they'd say the word amateur instead of amateur. That was an amateur wrestling or a WWE wrestling move.
Oh brother,
that was like the big dog Roman Reigns when he speared the quarterback with the football.
Good old Charles Davis is like. But in amateur wrestling, you get 2 points for that.
Brother, thank God I don't watch football.
We love WWE. We love WWE.
Who likes WWE? We do!
All the NFL commentators, we love WWE.
Yeah, John Madden, we love your WWE.
Oh, they even did it on college football yesterday, too, so that was cool.
I saw something about Tim Tebow sticking up for big business. He's a good old boy. Tim Tebow's a good old boy. He said, I do it for this business that I love.
Let me tell you something. I do not believe.
I do it for the glory of the college game.
I got some scholarship. I don't need extra money. And people that want money for their work in college are scumbags.
That was spoken from a true.
I want them to get paid
position.
Because I want NCAA football to come back. That's why
true,
I want them to get
true,
paid.
True, true, true. Come on.
I think I have an Xbox over here that came with NCAA football. Like the original Xbox that came with NCAA. It was like Fusion Frenzy and NCAA, I think, were the two games.
Fusion Frenzy.
That game kicked ass. One of the best party games ever.
It did.
Dude.
My wife loved it. We loved playing it. It was great.
Yeah, that was some good shit. I just want to say, like I said, thank you to everybody who's been listening. Of course, easy way to help the podcast is literally going on Apple Podcasts on your phone, on the app, and leaving a 5-star review, leaving a hot rating. Just stuff like that helps us game the algorithm a little bit, push us up in the wrestling charts, and get us up there with Conrad and the boys. Get us on up there, fellas.
We could be the number one non-Conrad Thompson podcast in the wrestling category. The most niche thing
of
all time.
We could be right up there with Shivani.
All four of Shivani's podcasts. This man heard the word long form content, and he said, "Yeah, bet I got somewhere."
Oh god!
But
hey,
that's
man,
an
I
easy
subscribed
way
to the SEC Network just to hear him commentate Georgia football games.
Oh yeah, he's literally missing AEW dates for football, so he's super into that. That's crazy. Of course, that helps. If you guys want to see full form video, uncensored, all that kind of stuff, on Patreon is a good way to do that.
Uncensored.
Slamboree 97. If you want to head over to patreon.com/deadlockpw, just like our website name, deadlockpw.com. But it's patreon.com/deadlockpw.
That's like a radio jingle.
I was like, no, that's right. You spelled that right.
All
right.
I know. Incredible. I was like, wait, what?
I'm a couple.
By the way,
I'm a couple
we also got
deep.
The. We also got the YouTube. You got the YouTube / name.
How did you get that?
PW. I'm a master.
What, you hack
that's, that's a good. That's going to be a new segment name or a new new series name. Two Claws Deep.
Dude, that's
a picture
deep.
Of. Dude, there's a picture of Walter with a crab claw and a white claw, and he's, that's Two Claws.
I almost want to use that for this episode.
You should put that as the podcast episode, kid.
Yeah, so the last episode we did, if you guys missed episode number 3, we made a joke about Walter chopping Green Ant with a crab claw, and we had to upload the episode, obviously, so you guys could listen to it, but we didn't get the cover done in time. So we're just sitting on this fucking super sweet image of Walter with a crab claw, and it's just sitting there. I don't know what to do with it. I almost want to do it for this one. Literally, I almost want to do it.
Just put like a sticker number 4 over it too.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that's what I'll do.
Duct tape and the number 4.
I'll go into Instagram and like target in a number 4 and white background it, and I'll just put it right there. That'll be okay.
There you go. I love it. Let's
do it. Special alt cover.
Of course, you guys can also buy some shirts, baby. Shop.deadlockpw.com. There's a bunch of ways to support the stuff, man. Whether you want to throw some dollars down or you don't, those are just some really good ways to do it. Our YouTube clips are going heavy. Over on youtube.com/deadlockpw. Tony connected us with that today somehow. I really don't know how. Dude just kind of got it. I didn't know the metrics.
Let me tell you something. All right.
How did we get a bunch of shirts out this weekend?
Oh, yeah, we did ship
some
out. Yeah,
you did. We did. We did. Congrats.
Yeah.
If you get your merch in the mail, check for it.
Let us know when you get them.
Yeah, there was just a button I had to click, and it says claim your URL.
Okay, good. Okay, I missed that button. I'm glad
I had to go to Studio Class, not Beta, Classic YouTube to get to it.
Of course.
Because it's broken.
Of course. That's just YouTube in general. Oh, my God. Makito liked the tweet I sent out. What a night, boys. What a night.
Let's pack it in. Great show. Let's get hit the road. Go to bed.
You all talked about your editorial yet?
Yeah, I have not said a word about it yet. Well, I showed it in everyone's face on the podcast. Or not on the podcast, but on the YouTube stream. But I have not talked about it on the podcast yet. So I ended up doing an editorial, my very first one. And it was about Stardom, of course, because that's kind of like what I'm into. And posted it on the website. Marcus helped me edit a little bit because I got to find some buzzwords, man. I'm telling stories straight up. I'm too generic with my words. And Marcus came in and buzzed it out. It's a sweet article. And it ended up doing super well. It caught the eye of the actual Stardom Twitter account, the English one. They tweeted out. The Stardom wrestlers saw it. B. Priestoli, Jungle Kiona saw it. It was a bunch of people. And I was like, damn, even Japanese fans. I don't know if I told you guys that, but Japanese fans were actually tweeting it out.
Onto that's
like,
sick.
Yeah, like Stardom Japanese fans. And they were talking about how cool it was that
you know, someone made this for Western fans. And because Japanese, you know, fans are actually super launch, into that. You know that?
Well, I'll bet.
Yeah, they love
it. I thought
Western
our launch
fans.
Was like the best night since Deadlock started. I thought launch was the best night. That was the best night for me. That was the best
night.
Yeah,
because Marcus, I think were you sick at the time when we put the article up?
Yeah, I was sick. And then you guys were all talking about it on Slack. And I woke up at like 2:30 after the meds woke off. And then I saw it. And I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, Marcus gets
like
all
five
this information.
Hours behind you all.
Yeah, here's like a whole list. It's like just me like losing my shit. I'm like, look at this. Chucka Kyoto liked it and all this stuff. And he saw it all late and stuff. But it was, it made for a super great reaction. I was happy. It literally could not have gone any better than that. It really kicked off the editorial stuff we're doing on the website, which is going to be one of the big features we're doing. We actually picked up a writer here, and we should have something out, this upcoming week?
We'll announce
it's going to be good.
It's going to be cool, man. It's going to be really
good. We're just getting that hot content for you all.
Yes, sir. Changing the game. That's what we do around
here.
Goddamn,
kid.
Can you imagine writing your first article about your favorite wrestling promotion and then they just retweet it? Like, what are the odds of that?
They cold tweeted it. They didn't even retweet it. They're just like, check out this article.
Yeah.
Link.
And what's funny is it ended up on their website because they have their Twitter link to their website. So it was on their front page of their website.
Yeah, we were checking the analytics and Tony's like, did they post it on their website? And I'm like, no, I don't think so. And I looked at the website. Oh, they got the Twitter up here too. So people were going to the website, seeing it, and then clicking out. I'm like, oh, okay. That's pretty cool. That turned out good. So, I mean, we've had quite a few weeks, man. It's been literally amazing. I mean, we already have like 7 or 8 patrons too, which by the way, to all the $10 patrons that just came up in the last couple of days, since this is a special episode, we're going to follow up next week, or I guess Friday or Saturday, whenever we upload this, might be Sunday, next one. We're going to do all the gimmicks at that time. I think we got 4 or 5 different people. So you got to give us some time to come up with some gimmicks.
Do.
Yeah,
we
it was
do.
A lot
we
of
do.
People right in a row.
I thought the gimmicks you all came up with on the pod yesterday were great. Trevor Toxin.
Did you see the picture that Trevor posted Toxin with the bomb. Big spoon?
I did with the spoon, the rusty spoon.
Did you see that, Tony?
Yeah, I saw.
That was incredible.
Hey, he wouldn't make it his profile photo, though, that coward.
He's got a brand, dude. He's got to protect his brand.
True.
He's like, I can't have no rusty spoon as my picture.
Yeah, right. Give him a break, man. He's working it through. So I guess we can, you know, we're done plugging shit in your ears, so we can talk about the baby.
All right, so Humberto went off the top.
Let Humberto just be gorgeous and let him go do his thing. We're not going to talk about him right now.
Drew Gulak threw him out of the ring, and then it got 1-2-3. That was a match.
Yes, and if you would like to finish reading this, go to WrestlingInsider456.com.
WrestlingInc.tv/TubbyEmu/TubbyEmu.
So he kicked off the Clash. By the way, funny story. I thought it was called Night of Champions still. Apparently it's not. It's the Clash of the Champions.
So did Tony.
Okay, so before we get, I was thinking about this. So the old hashtag was hashtag WWENOC. This was hashtag WWE.
Cock.
Clash, not WWE.
Cock.
I wish they would have done COC.
They're cowards. Make it cock. You would have got 20 times more just interaction just from it being
their
cocked.
Engagement would have been
the whole
the
time
roof.
Amazing memes coming out of that. It would have been perfect.
WWE cock.
I'm surprised. I didn't even know it was Clash. I thought it was cock. I just assumed it was
the Bang Bros Center would have been all over it.
Oh, I saw that. I hope that happens so
true.
Badly. Oh man,
the BBC.
Oh wow, they're cowards. They won't do it. They won't.
Oh yeah, they will. Who else is giving them $10 million?
They should up it. They should keep going up. Like, we can't do that. It's a little too low. $20 million. $20 million bang
exactly.
dollars.
Exactly.
We'll get you on the bus.
The bang bucks.
Shit, they make that in one day.
I know, dude. It's fucking nuts. Porn money is
who
crazy.
Who subscribes to that shit? Like,
I mean, no, I'm not going to sit here and lie like I've never done it ever in my life. I mean, like, everyone's done it once,
right?
You guys have never done it once? Support.
No, I just need
support the people that you watch, man. Come on, dude.
I just need the previews. I'm good.
I just
Jesus.
There's going to be one of those leaks, you know, one of those email leaks of like list of people that haven't. James is going to be on there.
No,
like,
I got my burner email account. Big Dick Daddy at Gmail. I got my burner. You have no phone.
Now we know, dude.
Not James Pulse.
Not James at Gmail. No,
it's just like, oh, let's hear it. James Pulse Biz at Gmail.
Falcon subscribes to it, though, right?
Everyone does. It's a fucking huge corporation, man. You got to look. I'm telling you, do you remember that guy I told you who started the porn universe on WB2K? I guarantee that he does it. There's people all over the place, man. It's a generational thing. People aren't scared.
He's got to keep feeding that content.
That's I wonder good if stuff. They have like a $10 Patreon gimmick where they give you a porn name.
OnlyFans.
They should.
OnlyFans. It's your OnlyFans, dog. That's like good stuff. Support
you
your,
have an Instagram? No, I got an OnlyFans. All right. What?
All right. Well,
they're going over to Mixer.
We can't do anything with OnlyFans. So, how about you give me your Twitter? Oh, man. That was fucking nuts. What a time, shit. Man. Deadlock has been nothing but laughs.
The BBC.
So Humberto.
No!
Rolled up.
So we kicked off Clash of Champions. We had Seth and Braun start the show versus Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode, where
Can I just get out of the way? Unless you have a name, tag matches don't count.
Robert Roode. Aren't they called Rudolph? I thought that was their official name.
No. Rudolph.
I've been bamboozled and led astray. I thought that was their name.
You just saw that shit on your feed and you're like, oh, that's it. Yeah, that sounds about right.
It's a universe mode tag team, so give them a universe name. It's okay. I'm
anything's better than the Gratitude Era.
Oh, that's the worst. We're just happy to be here. I'm happy to buy $5,000 Big Boss Man figures. Look, man.
I mean, even Cole buried the team on the mic. They weren't even a tag team a month ago.
I love when Cole goes on tirades like that. Like, especially when like something happens where they shouldn't have won the match or something. He shouldn't even have won the match. It doesn't make any sense. The ref's not even paying attention.
His shoulders weren't even on the freaking ground. What is this stupid ref?
I love.
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
Yeah, right. There was a funny part of Michael Cole at the end of the pay-per-view where Tubby was waiting for him to say something. He was like, oh, Michael Cole's about to say something. The match has been going on for 20 minutes. And then he goes, oh yeah, Michael Cole's not on commentary. I think it was Roman Reigns versus Eric Rowan or something. He was waiting for it. It just never happened.
No.
So they obviously started the show with this tag match just so they could end the show with the Universal Championship. It was, a lot of the show was weird in that sense. Seth had just beat Brock Lesnar, right? And he loses after Braun pushes him, and then he gets hit with a glorious DDT that I've seen on the roster kick out of since Robert came up.
Like everyone in the mixed match challenge kicked out of the glorious DDT.
And it's just like, what am I? It's not even bad. Him losing like that is okay. It's just the way that he lost and him being Universal Champion and Tag Team Champion and just beat Brock Lesnar. Other than that, I don't think it's a huge issue with the finish. I don't think the finish in itself is a bad finish, but it was with the people involved. I think it was pretty bad.
Got to set him up for the monster.
I guess the main event wasn't bad. The Braun versus Seth at the very end wasn't bad, but this just like sort of this was not the match I wanted to start the pay per view in the first place, and especially with that finish.
Best spot was the DDT counter to the Falcon Arrow, probably.
Who did the DDT? Was it
that
Dolph?
That was probably it. Yep.
I hate Dolph's DDT. Top five worst DDT. Just so you
well,
know.
Well, no, but he was countered into the Falcon Arrow.
Oh, okay. Well, he did the DDT on the outside. Right. No, yes. Dolph did the DDT on the outside. I hate it because he telegraphs it so hard. Yeah. He slaps their back, and I'm just like, just take them and put them in the ground. You don't need to tell them it's going to happen. Just take them down and break their neck. That's how wrestling is.
I wonder what Jake the Snake's just back at home watching the shit every single time. That's not how you do a DDT.
He just shakes.
It's not how you do it.
Yeah, smoking on cigarette. Every match in WWE ever.
Yeah, just taking a big.
You can't smoke on TV. It's bad. How do they promote that stuff?
Speaking of takes, I think it's. Man, I saw some tweets about women wrestling, and I said, it's about that time. We're about to get to the New Japan Needs Women's Wrestling thing again. It's every, 6 months. We're about to get there, dude. It's happening. We're getting to that point. I think Dave Meltzer said something about the WWE Women's... Or no, he said something about Women of Honor not being worth it. Like, ROH should just drop it all completely.
And I'm like, did say that. And then Brad Shepherd was all over WWE today.
He is a troll.
He is a troll. He is a troll.
He is a troll.
They're all terrible. They're all terrible. Mm.
Well, they had the beginning match. A lot of the matches ended like this one did, which was kind of a buzzkill. I was waiting and waiting and waiting for like a good match to kind of draw me into the pay-per-view, and every match sort of ended just like this one did. It definitely did. I mean, Bayley versus Charlotte was just like that, where she went headfirst.
Bullshit. That was sweet. That was sweet. Her whole thing needs to be, when off camera, she just like brass knuckles are coming next, but off camera, she should just do something dirty. Audience shouldn't see it. And every single time she wins that way, that would be great.
The problem is, man, is that there's no exposed turnbuckle anymore. It's all taped. She just like, I can't. Well, like, it's insulting to me. You're insulting me.
The whole time that match was going on, especially at the start, I was sitting there because we had just got done 2 weeks ago talking about Bayley turning heel. And I'm sitting there like, wait a second, is she a babyface again? The whole time. And then I'm like, oh my God, she completely redeemed herself. And it was perfect. I loved that. I loved that part. It was great. That part was awesome. What's with all the matches on this card starting off with like immediate offense, like the boot or a shoulder block?
I actually like
every
like
single
that
match
a
started
lot.
Off right after.
I like that a lot because WWE get in these almost, I don't know, I don't know the word I'm looking for, but they almost get in like these sequences over time. I'm trying to stretch this word out to the best of my ability, where they do the same start every single match. And I thought it was really cool for them to switch it up and go into like an almost brawl at the very beginning, especially for a lot of these that needed it. Like Charlotte getting pissed at Bayley and going after her really early was really cool. And I thought it was cool that they switched that up a little bit, honestly. They needed to.
Like 2K15, when every match started with a lockup.
God, the lockup system. Yeah, just like that. Like, if every match starts the same, then, like, I'm not into it right away. It's just, like,
hey,
things
have
to feel different.
It's the chain grappling system.
Oh, sorry. Predator grappling technology.
That sucked.
Whoever presses Y first.
Yeah, I think the finish was hot. It's just, it wasn't what I really wanted, I guess, in terms of getting to the finish. I just expected a little more, I guess. I was glad that they gave it to Sasha and Becky later on in the evening. I thought that that match was really good. Stupid finish. Once again, a lot of it.
Oh, my God.
We'll get there in a minute. Because that was the dumbest finish I've ever seen in my life. But we'll get there in a minute. I was just hoping got a little more time just to let them work a little bit. The women don't have a lot of spots on the card. So, like, giving them time would have just been nice, I think.
There are four women's matches.
Yeah, there was, wasn't there? And I still feel like that a lot of these didn't get a lot of time. I mean, that's just how I feel. I didn't bring out a stopwatch or anything, but I felt like the Bayley and Charlotte just ended a little early.
Yeah, all of them were quick except for Becky and Sasha.
What was the fourth one?
Well, we had Fire and Desire versus Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss.
Yep, and we had There was three.
You're right.
That's what I was saying. You must have saw that pre-show match, Humberto versus Dana Brooke.
There was three.
So after that, we get into Revival versus New Day, where Dawson ends up submitting Xavier's knee, I guess, that was injured. I'm guessing
his pants.
Yeah, he ripped his pants off. I was like, damn, this is crazy, right? I don't know. I wasn't into it either.
Yeah, I wasn't either, but Revival are that good old classic Greensboro Coliseum tag team.
They're going down to the coast. They're getting crazy,
Jim
Crockett
Promotions.
I like the reversal, but yeah, this match had like nothing for me, really. They did do the reverse figure four, which me and Tony had talked about before.
Yeah, we were talking about that, and I saw that. I was like, oh.
Yeah, I was thinking
they called it inverted. They called it inverted or something, didn't they?
Inverted figure four is what they called it.
When did you all talk about that?
I can't remember if we talked about it on the first episode of the podcast or if we talked about it.
Yeah, I was just saying, I rarely see an inverted, like where they start with the reversal figure four part and then they did it. So they definitely listen to the podcast.
Deadlock Podcast.
Yeah, I said that I was like, yeah, TJP did it. I know he did it before.
He did. He did do it, yeah.
And then Dawson was like, hold my beer. He said, I got this.
Confirmed, deadlockpw.com.
I thought their promo at the end, though, was cool.
Yeah, it was good. They got. Did you see their pants? Yeah. They had the snake and the dogs. It had the FTRKO and on the front, FTRKO.
Okay,
on
I got to see
they
that.
Got a Viper with two dogs. Everyone in WWE is a dog. All of them are some sort of dog.
It's a dog thing, yeah.
The big dog, the Greensboro dog.
Here comes the big dog. That's what I was waiting for Michael Cole to say. He loves saying that. That's his favorite thing to say.
The top guy said that everybody is revived now, so I'm glad of that.
They still have not signed new contracts, by the way.
Like that time that AJ Styles was champion and he had no contract, or CM Punk was champion, had no contract. Or
that, AJ did, was also champion at the time with no contract.
Yeah,
in TNA.
Yeah, no contract. Yeah, this is going to be one of those things. They're going to just like give him the titles and hope they stay around.
They're going
to
drop him in the trash on AEW on TNT.
Brother.
That'd actually be kind of dope. I hope that does happen.
Dude, that would, the internet would just. Oh
it would.
God. It would just, it'd be it. That'd be it for the internet tonight. We actually went straight from that tag match into another tag match, which we talked about just a second ago. Alexa and Nikki versus Fire and Desire, where Nikki pins Mandy Rose. This is actually.
And Alexa's back to the full Harley Quinn thing.
That didn't look like what I was. Yeah, what? It makes that Harley Quinn. Is it the pigtails?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that does
I
not
guess it's
look
right
like
after
Harley
the
Quinn,
Birds of Prey stuff just came out, because that's her look in Birds of Prey now.
They mentioned it on commentary, right? Harley Quinn-esque or something. Because
I don't
believe
they did.
No, I think Renee said Harley Quinn. because I didn't see it, and I fucking love DC. I was like, that does not remind me of Harley Quinn at all. Like, it just has,
like, that ain't no Harley Quinn.
Let me tell you something about Harley Quinn.
Back in my day.
That's pretty much me anytime I disagree with something. So this was one of my favorite matches of the night, though, man. And I was sad.
Why?
I was sad
because of the unorthodox style of Nikki Cross.
I just don't get behind the like Nikki Cross is ugly thing that they're doing. Like,
did they even reference that tonight, though?
Did they do that again where they're like, she's ugly? And that
well,
was
they
like,
did that once.
Corey Graves tried to a little bit.
Yeah, it's like, it's a weird thing. They did that with Piggy when they did it with Piggy James.
Yeah, they're talking and then Renee like started talking about bullying like women, and it was just like, oh, please don't bring this up. Like, why even start this? Like, this is stupid.
Yeah, that's just weird to me.
They only do it with the women. It's weird.
Yeah, only.
Yeah,
only.
I know. It's weird.
Yeah, like you don't ever see only, like R-Truth's not Heath calling Drake Maverick ugly or anything. You know what I mean? It's just like, that's a really weird. WWE
he should
has
now,
a,
though. He should. Yeah. I want Drake Maverick to call him
they're close to it. They're close to it. Orton, like, they kicked off the Orton-Kofi promo with, you're stupid.
Yeah. You're ugly.
Yeah, start going to that. Just go to, like, they need a character like Chad Varsity where he just, remember when Ryback was doing that? He was just bullying dudes and he smacked that dude in the ear with the tuna?
Yeah.
That gimmick was so good. So good.
I think we talked about that on the first podcast too.
I want to talk like about it all the time. Like, cause Ryback legitimately got screwed. He got screwed out of a money making gimmick. I think it was because of the Be a Star thing they were doing or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. I was about to say Be a Star.
Yeah.
And
but
he did the keyboard warrior thing when he came out
with
the keyboard.
Yeah, yeah, dude, that was awesome. And like Ryback was starting to finally like get a, like he beat up RD Evans and shit, and like he was starting to like get a character and be fun, and like it was really really dope. And they're like, oh, we're gonna kill that. Ryback got screwed over a lot.
Hit us up. We support you.
Hell yeah! Come eat a fucking Popeye's chicken sandwich with me, man. That's what I'm talking about. I'm down with the back.
Bring your own bun, dude. Bring your own bun.
That's good stuff right there. We had Mandy Rose in this new attire that looked dope. I wish I could wear pastel colors like that because I can't.
Yeah, she did look dope. She did look
good. Skin. I'm too white. It sucks.
Yeah,
man.
You are pasty. Elmer's.
Yeah, I can't. I can't wear it because it's too. It almost blends in with my skin color.
I mean, they were getting a lot of shade on Twitter. I was like, I kind of like that tag team.
Who? Fire and Desire?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, they kick ass. Why would they get shade? Yeah. Who was shading?
They were getting a ton of shade on Twitter. Just a ton. Ton.
That's
all over
crazy.
The feed.
That's wild. I can't believe it. I thought everybody liked them, honestly. Sonya Deville's theme song is hot. That theme song is it so is, good. It is. I was like, wow, what is this? I've never even heard it till this point right now. And I was like, this is good. And then, of course.
What do you guys think of Nikki and Alexa? You guys like them as champions?
Whatever.
I think they need a name.
I think that, you know, it does what it's supposed
they've
to.
They've now defended. They've now defended like two pay-per-views now, right? Right?
Yeah.
I think. Yeah, two pay-per-views something like now. That. They need
the
a
Iconics
name. They need a name. Yeah.
Well, I think they'll break. What's the point? They'll break up.
Yeah, they are.
Right.
They are.
You're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
It's going to lead to an eventual program,
good
right?
Call.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely think it does.
Who wants to see that?
What?
That's like all of Alexa's like feuds is like she tags with them and then just they break up. And
that's
it's always
all WWE
either...
tags in general. They make a tag
with
for
Alexa,
the end
though.
Game.
Oh, like
yeah.
That gimmick
yeah, that
is like
true.
who she's going to team with is either, and then they always play the ugly gimmick or the fat gimmick or like whatever. And it's just like, it's ridiculous. It's like, come on.
I mean, let's not get real. They're probably already building the Harper and Rowan at Mania.
Yeah. I mean, it dead ass. I swear to God, they make a tag team and like they're like, okay, we're putting you boys together. Here's when you're going to break up.
hashtag the payoff.
Yeah, it is. It's why the tag team division can
it's
never
probably,
gain any
it's
ground.
It's probably Dewey Foley. Dewey Foley back there.
Dewey!
tag team.
Fucking Dewey.
Come on, Dewey.
It's all Dewey's
right,
fault.
Man.
Come on, pick it up, Dewey.
They had R-Truth interfere in this one. I don't know how you guys felt about that one, but he came through with the jobber crew and Alexa tried to
they
pin
had
him.
To do every title. It was the
I,
one night
I,
to every
I hated
championship.
That part. I hated that part.
Okay, here's,
like, oh,
here's, what,
away
I, here's
it.
What I think. R-Truth coming out, I didn't like it. And then Alexa and tried to interfere and win. I thought I popped for that. I thought that was cool.
That part was cool, yeah.
But
that's great.
In the duration of this happening, it sucked all the heat from this match. And they had to work with nothing for the rest of the match. Like, once that happened, it was done. The crowd didn't care anymore.
Yeah, they've done that before with the 24/7 title, like interrupting matches, and then it just kills the match that's going on in the ring.
I'll tell you what, though. I got to give it up to the crowd in Charlotte, North Carolina tonight. They were willing that show to victory, man. They had so many this is awesome chants for things that just were not awesome.
North Carolina's been a hot crowd for them recently. North Carolina, Virginia, the East Coast, really. Because the Norfolk shows, the crowd was carrying the hell out of that, too. So, I mean, the crowd really does make a difference, especially when WWE has to, you know, do what they do. You know, it's just how it is.
Yeah.
Spectrum Center was packed, though. Looked like a packed crowd.
I guess that's not really true recently. I was going to say, usually they get the numbers for the pay-per-views, but that's not even the case anymore recently.
That hasn't been true. Yeah.
It's kind of crazy to think about. I mean, I guess they could pad it, mm-hmm. you know, once it gets to that point, but yeah.
Right.
I thought, like I said, I actually liked this. I didn't like that the heat got sucked out of it, but up until this point, this was probably my favorite match of the evening. Of course, as time went on later in the pay-per-view, my opinion changed on what my favorite match was because towards the end of the show they actually had some really really good stuff towards the end of the show, but they sort of hit a wall in the beginning and it was hard for them to kind of ride that momentum up because there was no momentum, so they kind of skated along until the last.
Yeah, I was
part.
Telling Tony right. I was telling Tony right before the show. I was like, okay, this is gonna be a long 3 hours, and then it did pick up, thank God, because at first it was just like, oh no, oh no, we got to talk about this later, and I got to be positive.
I got a job to do later, oh no.
Yeah, because I mean, like, we started with
like,
Seth and Braun
Hannah,
and them.
My wife's around, and she's just like, she and the kids are like running around, I'm like, I'm working here!
Yeah, you probably should have just started running around with them, honestly, you probably had a better time. Because we kicked it off, I mean, I was already upset that AJ and Cedric weren't going to get any time, because that was one of the matches I was actually really, really looking forward to.
And Humberto on the pre-show, you know.
Humberto, like, baby! We had Seth and Braun with the tag match, which I already didn't care about at all, the implications didn't mean anything
to
me.
You just knew what was going to happen, yeah, exactly.
Bayley versus Charlotte, I felt was a TV thing. I don't, like, for a pay-per-view, that was, like I said, I don't know. I didn't hate the finish, but it was a TV finish on a pay-per-view, which is something I always have an issue with WWE in general, is because, you know, everything is scaled differently on weekly to pay-per-view shows. Like, something that happens on a weekly show cannot be graded the same as something that happens on a pay-per-view show to me. That's how I look at it, at least.
I'm trying to pull out my best Tubby line to, as a reaction to that. And I think all I got is, hey, man, that show did what it was supposed to do.
That's my thing. Yeah, he said he saw you post that. He said he saw you post that. And he's like, man, that's your thing. You're supposed to be shitting on you. I'm like, yeah, that is my thing. I was talking about it earlier. I was like, yeah, if you ever hear me on a podcast go, yeah, that did what it's supposed to do. Yeah, that just means I didn't like it. I have my different
code. I'll wait for that later in the night.
Pulse code.
I'll wait for that later in the night.
Exposing the biz, brother. That's just how it is. So after we had Fire and Desire, and then we moved into The Miz versus Shinsuke, which once again, I just could
worst match of the night.
Yeah, I could not care any less about. It's just
Shinsuke's cape, though.
Yeah, the cape was crazy. The cape
was more over than the match.
Oh, Miz is just not a babyface. It's so bad.
And I like the Miz a lot.
Me too.
I feel like Miz from 2016 to now is he lost a lot of heat when he left to go do the reality show, and that's just the reality of the situation. But Shinsuke's got no heat whatsoever. I like Sammy. I like what he's doing, and I actually really enjoy what Sammy's doing, but he gets no heat either. Like,
what'd you think of him on the mic to start the match?
I thought it was funny. I'm glad they didn't have him do it the entire match. I thought it was funny the way they shut. I actually think that worked well where they shut the mic off, but he was getting no heat doing any of that. Like, he just doesn't get heat at all. Cause I don't know what it is. Sammy just radiates big baby face energy. It's just how he is. It's just the way that he works.
Yeah.
You're right.
Which is crazy. Cause I, like I said, I enjoy it. Like, I really like Sammy. Sammy saved the Undertaker segment in Madison Square Garden to me. Without Sammy, that segment would have sucked. Undertaker was just talking, oh, I love the Knicks, I like Madison Square Garden. It's just like, dude, shut up.
Yeah.
That's just where I'm at with the Undertaker. Come on the bike or don't come out at all.
Jeez.
That's just where I'm at with the Undertaker right now, man. That's how it is.
And then Sammy has a neck brace now after a choke slam.
Okay, that was funny as hell. He didn't even have it on. It was just like hanging off the back of his neck.
It was dangling.
I was
exactly
waiting for it to fall off. Yeah.
Me too. He was holding it on for a while.
Like I said, I love the Sammy stuff. It's just for some reason with the live crowds, he just doesn't get any heat. I don't know why. Maybe he's just too eccentric for them to want to boo him.
It's because we all like Sammy.
Yeah,
and
like
so everything
I said,
that
big
he does,
baby
we're
face
gonna,
energy.
We're not gonna. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's exactly how it
you're
works.
So likable, Sammy.
Yeah, stop being such a good fucking dude. He's like, I'm building fucking like medical carts for Syria and stuff, and I'm helping stuff. And like, yeah, boo.
He's like saving lives over here. You suck. I hate you.
What do you want me to do to this guy? Like, he's just like the coolest dude ever. What am I supposed to do here?
Kevin Nash supports him.
Yeah, Kevin Nash, big man. It's so funny that, like, I love Kevin Nash because he took big Republican dollars and said, fuck it. That's the dude. Like, that's crazy, man. That's Kevin Nash is forever the man. I don't care what anyone says. If I ever become a wrestler, I'm dedicating a measured corner elbow to Kevin Nash in my moveset somewhere. I'm putting it in there. He aligns it up with his hands as a little triangle thing. Yeah. Bam.
That was the greatest.
You remember his cameo in Grandma's Boy?
Oh my god, dude, that movie! Oh man, with JP the robot.
Yep. Grandma's Boy is an awesome movie. Underrated.
Dude, that movie is.
Please
hot.
Sit on my face.
You red shirted ass. Wasn't David Spade in that movie? Wasn't he the? I'm pretty sure David Spade was
he was. Yeah,
David Spade was in the beginning.
He was like, sweet. You were sweet.
That movie kicks ass. I was actually talking about a few of those older like comedy films like that from I can't remember if it's Happy Madison that does the
Happy Madison.
That was Happy Madison.
Yeah, those earlier movies from Happy Madison kick ass. Like all of
them. It's a sweet race car bed.
Yeah, he's jacking off the fucking Laura Croft doll in the bathroom. He's like, yeah, Laura, you like that? Like, it's total stoner, lowbrow comedy.
Absolutely.
But it's fantastic. I really can't.
It was amazing.
Can't say enough about those earlier movies.
JP's the greatest actor ever.
They were playing Halo 2 on the TVs in that movie. That's how old that
they
stuff
were, they
is,
were.
Man.
I forgot about that.
He's like, come play me in Halo 2. Yo, what? I always remember that. Always. So as we move on from Sammy and his neck brace, we go into probably one of the best matches of the night, just the dumbest finish of the night. We had
dumbest
Sasha
finish, except for Bad
Becky.
Buck.
Oh yeah, I didn't even know that was Pat Buck. Was that Pat Buck?
Yeah, it was Pat Buck.
Tubby said, "This is Pat Buck." I'm like, "Is that Pat Buck?" Oh, like, I thought Pat Buck was bald.
It's crazy.
Turns out he's got hair. That's crazy. We had Sasha versus Becky.
Beats the shit out of people these days.
Oh my God, I did hear about that with Cass. What the hell?
Yeah.
What's going on?
It happened.
First off, who's booking him?
Yesterday, right?
That happened yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah, it happened yesterday.
Yeah, he's dangerous, yeah, man.
I guess Cass popped off backstage and Pat had to finish it.
He said, Cass, this is my retirement show,
murder everybody
show,
in
this
locker room.
Yeah, that whole thing sucked. I was reading about that. And I'm like, well, it sucks, dude. Like, this is nuts. Like, I heard that the only reason Cass didn't even get arrested is because Janela was just nice about it. He just didn't press charges or anything. So that's kind of how that went. But that whole thing, I was reading up on that. I was like, ugh, I hate wrestling sometimes.
Right on. I'm just like... Like, Janela's just a good dude, I guess. because everybody hates him. Like,
Janela's gimmick is that he thinks he's the man, but he's a loser.
Yes, exactly. And people get pissed off at it in like real life. It's ridiculous.
The bad boy.
They try to fight him at carnivals and shit.
Ugh. It's crazy. Blink-182 concert.
Enzo and Cass, just get out. Just leave.
Yeah, just move on, man. Like, I mean, Cass was trying to do something or something. I don't know. I don't keep up with Cass and Enzo at all, but I saw they were trying to get... I saw Cass was trying to do something, but, I mean, he tried to assault half a locker room, and then he said... I don't know. I can't confirm or deny some of the shit he said, but I heard it was some pretty fucked up shit.
Yep.
So, like, that's maybe...
Get healthy, dude.
Yeah, maybe don't wrestle for a little while.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just, like, get better and... I mean, you don't want to fuck around mental health. Like, if he's truly messed up, then like, you're doing a disservice to him to even book him on these shows. Like, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That's just yeah,
kind of how it is. But we
That's
had
straight shoot.
Straight shoot, man. Beep, 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 bang, bang, bang.
What's up, you marks?
Okay. Before this, though, they said WWE Clash was trending number one worldwide. It definitely wasn't. Hashtag Bears was trending number one worldwide. So,
but WWE didn't look at the right. Yeah, yeah, you didn't look at the right one. It was. WWE cock and balls.
I was looking at WWE cock, sorry.
Yeah, he is on a shamble. So Sasha versus Becky happened. Sasha, I guess, won the match because Becky got DQ'd,
I guess.
By nobody, by the way, which is why this finish was so
about
stupid.
30 minutes late.
Yeah, she did not get DQ'd by any referee. She got DQ'd by Corey Graves.
By Michael Cole.
Yeah, she got DQ'd because of commentary, which didn't make any sense.
I was hoping this was going to be Triple H and Taker from WrestleMania 17 X7 where they brawl all over and then the ref gets up like 30 minutes later and then counts the pinfall, but that didn't happen.
Well, how about that moment where you realize when they call the DQ on commentary that that entire thing was just for that mustard spot?
Dude, yeah, I hated that spot too because then they immediately started laughing on commentary and like you know Becky has got Sasha's arm like she's gonna break it off and Michael Cole's like oh man she's got her arm like this is supposed to be like a blood feud and like now it's just a joke and it's like they did this with Dean Ambrose too and it's just like oh my God Sasha just came back and I was like this whole thing made me want to die, dude.
Did you know that Sasha Banks' favorite wrestler is Eddie Guerrero?
Are you sure about that? That was The Rock.
Because they never mentioned that once on commentary when she tried to throw a chair in and then get another chair. And that's just like Eddie Guerrero, her favorite wrestler.
What a fantastic match to that point, though. They were like, they were kicking ass. I was like, dude, this is good. And then, of course.
Yeah, they were just letting him go. It was great.
Then, of course. Like, I don't...
The Bexploder!
Sometimes you can just have someone lose. You know, like, it's interesting to me how often they go out of their way to try to... And it's funny because you think they go out of their way to try to protect people, but in the end, they never protect anybody. Everybody ends up coming out of it looking stupid as hell. So no one ends up getting protected. Sometimes you can just have someone lose, and that's the best way to protect them. Like, you can...
Because what's the point? What's the point at Hell in a Cell? What are you going to...
They're getting ketchup, baby.
what are you going to do? Is Sasha going to win? Like, no.
I was really hoping Sasha would beat Becky here. I don't think that Becky losing here would have meant a damn thing to like her image. I think that's one of the biggest things is they want to keep this image going because Becky's probably one of the biggest draws women wise they have ever. Probably one of the best. I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. I don't know gate numbers.
I'm
kind
of getting tired of her fake mean though. She does the same thing.
Yes, you redhead, blue hair weirdo. You yellow headed weirdo. You green hair weirdo. Yeah, I agree. Right, right. I agree. She is very monotonous, and her Twitter is. I had to mute her like 3 months ago. but you can't deny that she's super over, and like that's fine, and I'm cool because she works her ass off. So like, it never bothers me too much. But yes, I was really hoping that Sasha would pick up the win here, just because I felt like she needed it. Yeah,
yeah.
And all I got out of this was that WWE makes them both look dumb. WWE made themselves look dumb, and they decided to throw out a blood feud for a mustard spot. And it's just like,
agreed.
No, this match all did that what was for supposed to spot. Do. Yeah,
and I was
that's the name of this episode, the mustard spot.
And it's weird because throughout the entire evening, WWE, what they usually do is throw you in a longer match where they let them go a little more, you know. And I thought that was going to be AJ versus Cedric, but it wasn't. And this was kind of the match they allowed that to happen with. And
I did think it was dope how they went out into the crowd. You don't often see that with women's matches, and I thought that was pretty dope.
No, I liked it too. And I liked it all the way up the ramp, and especially when they went into the spot up top. I thought that was cool. But the second they started laughing on commentary, and I was just like, oh, this is over.
Yeah.
Like, that's it, man.
Yeah, but it probably would have been pretty dope to be in that crowd, though, when they came back out. Like, and then the spotlight. I love how they always do that. The spotlight's like searching for them as if they don't know where they're going to come out at.
Yeah,
it's like, cool. Oh, there they are.
That is really cool. I kind of wish it would have ended different, but that's WWE. You got to kind of compromise sometimes with WWE, because if you dwell too much on shit like that, it'll eat you up, man. Those finishes will eat you up. You just got to compromise sometimes and be cool with it.
It was the best match on the card. It was good. I enjoyed it up until the end.
Yeah,
definitely. So we moved into Orton versus Kofi. This match did what it's supposed to do.
No, he didn't do what it's supposed to do.
Orton Kofi is, if you were to build a wrestler.
Kofi gets zero reaction when he comes out the ring. He gets no reaction from the crowd at all. I feel bad for the dude.
Me too.
Like, his music hits and nothing. Not a boo, not a cheer, just silence. It is
bad. This was very much a 2010 WWE match.
It was depressing. I have one note in my notes for the match. Winner and still Kofi.
mine is, this match did what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
That's all I gotta do. It's funny because during my watch party on YouTube, you know, seeing the chat, and they're like, you know, sometimes it's nice to just get a storytelling match like this. I'm like, man, y'all have been...
That's tubby.
No, I mean, that's a legitimate thing that people say. I'm like, man, y'all have been brainwashed. People have been brainwashed to think that monotonous, slow, nothing happening matches equal to some sort of storytelling.
It's not crazy. That I don't want that match to be good. Tony, you can vouch. We wanted this rivalry to be good.
For sure. But it was stupid. Stupid.
It hasn't been good. It is not.
I keep thinking back
to what King Booker after was great.
Oh yeah, but before I get to King Booker and the WWE hype boys, Street Profits, I keep thinking back to James when you said that WWE conditioned us to think that Randy Orton is amazing when really he's not.
Yeah, they've conditioned people to think that he's telling this fucking amazing story every match he has, like him methodically taking down each part as the Viper, the Apex Predator, this next level 6,000 IQ storytelling from Randy Orton. It's like, what if I told you that every goddamn wrestling match in the history of the world tells a story and all of his just kind of suck? What if I told you that's the truth here? That you have been brainwashed by a goddamn big corporation into believing that storytelling is something that doesn't happen except for in matches like this, which is absolute cornbread shit.
I don't think Orton was the problem in this match. I think it was Kofi.
I think that Orton tells the same exact story every single match, and it makes all of them monotonous. And I don't think it was. I think it was equally on both of them, just because I think Kofi tells a very similar story every single match too, and that's why I said it's a 2010 WWE match.
Kofi is not believable as a ruthless aggression type dude who just,
it didn't even feel like that in this match.
Hits a breaking point. Well, that was the build though. That was the build that, like, oh, he's insulting him in front of his family. That's it. That's the last straw. He's psychotic. Kofi's going psychotic. Oh my God, he's psychotic. He's got a cane.
Oh, yeah, baby. But it never felt like Kofi was mad that he was like, it just didn't feel
what
like
was
Kofi
he mad about?
About saying shit about like
he
his
didn't
family
do anything. It's them know, insulting my intelligence again. It. He didn't do anything. He literally just got near his kids who were fucking ringside because Kofi put them there. He put them
well,
there.
It's just a classic case of like, it's just the classic case of the, of wanting Kofi's reign to be longer than actually putting substance in Kofi's reign. And that's what's taking priority right now. So it's like,
I agree. Like no, you're right. You're when
we look,
right.
When we look back, we're going to be disappointed with this run. We're always going to remember Mania. We'll always remember. It's going to be one of the best moments ever. But then,
man, he started off
just
so hot.
So yeah.
He started off so hot, man. What in the world? I was talking about that the other night too. Was man, you could not have asked for a better way to make him a champion. And they just said, we're just not going to put any thought whatsoever into anything else as long as this run is happening. It's rough, dude.
Right.
That's really, really rough. I don't think putting him in Orton was a good idea either.
I feel like they're waiting till SmackDown to do like a TV title change.
What, on Fox?
Where he loses the belt on TV, yeah.
Absolutely.
I thought they were, I'll be honest with you, I thought, you know, in my head with how, you know, WWE does business, I thought that Fox said we want Orton as champ. To be honest, going into this, that's what I thought. I mean, yeah. that's definitely like a thing that I think could happen.
I would almost expect that to happen.
Yeah, I don't think the story's over. I think it happens before they go on Fox.
We're gonna get the Heck in a Sec 3-6 man tag all titles on the line thing.
But I'm telling you, if that happens for SmackDown on Fox, Orton comes out, music hits. Crowd's gonna go crazy. Happens every time. I talked about it last time.
It does happen
every time.
And I think that's it's kind of weird how Orton matches go too, because I was talking to Tubby about this and how Orton's matches are monotonous and they just kind of go along and you know you kind of know what to expect out of them. But I don't think Orton works very well as a heel right now, to be honest. I think he did in the past. But to be honest, he's at a point now where he's like a 11, 12, 13-time world champion. He's done every single thing that you can possibly do in WWE. No one wants to boo him. They just want to see him hit a RKO. That's the only thing that
That's
people
true.
Watch Randy
That's
Orton
true.
To see. So Kofi's a guy that needs someone on the other end to push him forward. And like Randy is not that guy because he's siphoning all the heat from Kofi because people just want to see him hit the RKO or the punt kick. And it's just like that was not the move to make for Kofi Kingston here. They definitely did him a disservice putting him with
but you
Orton.
can see it on paper where they're like, okay, this will really get Kofi over, beating a 13-time champion Hall of Famer Randy Orton. And you're right, they just didn't think too deep into that, because if you take it like one step further, it makes sense. It doesn't make sense.
Sure. I mean, and I think that it's okay to not hit everything out of the park. I don't think you need to hit everything out of the park all the time. But they should definitely not run it any further than it needs to. You know what I mean?
Like I said, I wanted this feud to be dope. I really was looking forward to it. It's one of those things where you're like, you get excited for it and it just doesn't work. You're like, all right, okay, let's move on. But I bet Brandon's excited for it.
Yeah, that's true. He was like, probably like, RKO, the three most devastating letters.
We
moved on from that one, and it actually, we moved into an exciting match. I thought this was really, really good. The Reigns versus
Rowan.
Wait,
you skipped over King Booker.
Well, what do you want to say? The motherfucker came back and did
his thing,
baby.
He did his thing. Hey.
Oh, dude, the best thing about King Booker is like the whole time Street Profits are talking, he's just looking straight up.
Dude, that face he made was perfect the entire time they're talking.
It's the best.
I'm telling you, he's the best commentator in the biz, dog. Bring him back on the booth.
I was watching. There was somebody shared a clip of when he was on the microphone commenting. He was commentating, then he took the mic in the ring and he was commentating. Oh, here comes Booker T. Booker T stomping him. It was like in TNA. It was like the greatest thing ever.
I think it's time we stop beating around the bush and say that Booker's probably top 10 of all time.
The shucky ducky quack quack moment
like,
of the night.
Like wrestler of all time?
I think in WWE history, probably. I mean, Booker has literally always knocked everything out of the park. Always. Ever. There's never been one down moment throughout Booker's career where, like, I did not care about Booker T. Can you think of anything where he didn't just completely destroy?
Well, I'm just trying to think. I'm trying to think of the top 10, and I think he...
This man made it through Triple H burying him at WrestleMania. He made it through the fucking crawl. Trenches.
He would the be... Crawl. I mean, I don't think he'd be in top 10, or maybe 10. He might be 10.
He is number 12 on my match of the year list.
Strictly WWE only.
And I'm kind of, that's a loaded question in the first place. It's a loaded statement. It's definitely hyperbole. I don't know if I would put him in my top 10, but he's definitely one of my favorite dudes, like, ever. I can't.
But you are right. There wasn't a point where I didn't think he did awesome stuff.
And they gave him some tag team stuff.
They did.
He made him in Gold Dust work and, like,
he fought with lightsabers. Like that, yeah. I'll never forget some of that stuff.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, you price check on Jackass.
Yeah, price check on Jackass. That I don't think like anyone that watched WWE at that point will probably never forget the Stone Cold stuff they did with the brawl in the marketplace. Like you can definitely have a conversation about him being in the top 10. Like there is definitely a conversation to be had with Booker over the years. He's a hell of a worker too. Like it wasn't just like, yeah, he was great at the skits and the comedy stuff and doing whatever they needed him to do. But dude, he was a fucking worker too. Like he would work.
They always made the WCW guys go through some shit every single time. Every time. Doesn't matter who you were.
You know, they dragged him through a bunch of garbage, but he came out on the other side always.
Yep.
Always.
It's all about the five.
Yeah, I don't know that. You look like a chicken, it act like a chicken, it look like a chicken. It's a chicken. Booker T forever, baby.
I will say, I'm going to bring it all the way back to episode one, but I will say when one time I was staying at a hotel, I was on tour with ESPN doing the Madden Nation show, and SmackDown was there at the time as well. And Booker and Charmel came down for the continental breakfast and had a full stack pancake.
Oh my God! I almost forgot about Kurt Angle wanting to have sex with Booker T's wife.
I almost forgot
about that. He said he wants to have hot bestiality type sex with Charmel. Okay, we can have a legitimate conversation about Booker T being top 10 of all time.
Booker T is Deadlock's favorite wrestler.
Yeah, like he put him in the booth, Vince. You coward! Put him back in the booth. He deserves at least that, dude. I mean, he even knocked out the stuff in the Street Profits tonight. Like, he's like, he never left, man. Like, he never left.
Yeah.
It was like he never left. It was dope tonight.
He's awesome. So, we move on to Roman Reigns versus Rowan, which, you know, we talked about, Marcus, when you were out. We talked about it with Phoenix and how I wanted it to just be this drag-out brawl. And I think that's kind of what we got. Like, it's a drag-out brawl in a sense of that's what a WWE drag-out brawl looks like.
Yeah. 2 weeks ago, I said Luke Harper was going to was going to come back, and you guys were all roasting me. Look what happened.
What did you just tell me this right then? The fuck?
He did say that.
Dude, I lost it. When he came out in a Monomarth shirt, I'm like, holy shit, I listened to these dudes back in like eighth grade. This is thrash metal fucking, I love it. I love it so much.
I'm glad you knew what that shirt was because Tony and I were trying to figure it out. What do those letters say?
I don't know what that means.
Dude, yeah, that was kick ass metal shit when I was growing up too. And it was really cool. So he just adopted that. He's like, I'm going to listen to metal too. So him and Rowan are just wearing metal shirts, hanging out, kicking ass. I'm like, yeah, this is way better than Super Smash Brothers 2 where they came out with big hammers and stuff. I was like, this is way better.
Luke Harper went from like chilling on his couch playing Madden this week to
one of the most over dudes right now. Like it was huge. That reaction was massive, man.
It was massive. I love him.
He probably didn't even sign a new contract either. He's
They're just like, yeah, we'll put you on TV or whatever. You've been sitting out long enough. Triple H probably came through. Which reminds me, did you guys see the NXT commercial on this show?
No, I missed it every time. They've showed it before.
It said,
"Yeah, they've shown it.
No BS." It says,
yes, they keep saying that. That's how it starts off.
So basically what we're saying is the rest of this shit is BS.
Right.
The rest of the bullcrap you see on Monday and Friday.
It's like, no BS. You just want that wrestling?
They did Sasha versus Becky. They did the fucked up finish, and then they went straight into an NXT commercial. You don't want any of this BS, do you? I was like, well, you're right. I don't want any of this BS.
Was it right after that?
They played like two or three times. They played two or three times, and every time it was after a match where the finish was like messed up. I was like, oh my God.
No BS.
They perfectly placed that too. Yeah.
Well, no damn BS, do you? No? All right, then watch this shit, baby.
Watch NXT and not AEW.
Oh yeah, be sure you tune into the WWE Network when Suits comes on, motherfuckers, because you can't be watching it when Suits is on.
Good God. Did you see they found the hardest part of the ring in this match?
What was that, Tony? What was this in this match?
They exposed the LED.
He says
the cover of the LED.
Who was commenting? It was Saxton, I think. He goes, he's exposed the hardest part. It's like, what are you talking about? Like, he took the padding off and it's just a regular apron. I was like, what the hell is this?
No, he took the padding off the LED board.
Was there spikes or something?
No, but it's like the actual 100% legit hardest part of the ring, the LED.
He barely even hit it. I was like, this is the worst thing ever. I know,
it sucked. It wasn't good.
And they must have moved at least 2 tons of steel chair, too. I mean, steel steps, too.
Oh, well, that was definitely a callback to the stairs match. The second he picked that up, I was like, yes, it is a callback. When I saw that spot on the LED board, it reminded me of when Mauro was calling, I think it was NXT TakeOver Toronto. I think it was the tag match, and like obviously the tag match was the most tame match on the whole show because, you know, Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano just said, oh, fuck it, we're going to jump off the top of a hell in a cell, or whatever it was, the sinister structure.
Sinister structure.
it reminded me of the tag team match where like he did like a back body drop into the table and Mauro just like completely lost his shit because like he was trying to make it as equal to the rest of the card as he could. He's like, oh my, the back body drop. It's like, okay. I don't know what's going on here anymore, but okay.
I did like
Rowan.
He's
got to make everything consistent.
Rowan used a double goozle. He like double choked him and then powerbombed him through the announce table. I thought that was pretty cool.
The iron goozle, claw bomb? Goozle, the power bomb.
Yeah, double goozle to the power. I call it goozle.
Are you talking about the one where he grabs him by the head?
He grabbed him with both hands around the neck, picked him up, and then powerbombed him through the announce table.
Yeah, because his finish is the iron claw bomb.
Yeah. That's sweet too. But he did a double goozle power bomb through the announce table.
Yeah, they beat the hell out of each other. I was hoping for blood, Rowan, man. I was hoping for some blood. I was trying to see some hard way fucking ass kicking. That's what I was looking forward to, anyways.
I think we saw blood next, though.
Yeah, but that was, didn't need it. Didn't need it. I'm a very fickle fan here. I didn't need it. Yeah, I only very selective with my blood. The last match definitely the Reigns and the Rowan was dope. I think that I was kind of discussing this a little bit too before. But I almost wish that WWE wouldn't book every match the same way. Like obviously they have their own formulaic style in the way they do stuff. And even when they do, even when they do bruiser matches, it's more or less the same match, but they're kind of doing power moves instead of anything else. So like, Rowan would get his heat and then it would be, Reigns would cut him off and then Rowan gets more heat and then Reigns cuts him off and then they go into the shine and the finish. And it's just like, it's obviously like the same shit over and over. I would have really liked it if WWE would allow bruisers like Drew McIntyre and Reigns and Rowan and the bigger dudes on the show, Bob Lashley even, to like do 50-50 kind of matches where they're equally at the same time just beating the piss out of each other and kind of just taking hits and going back at each other, because the idea when I watch bigger dudes wrestle, the idea to me is that this is obviously an ego based match. When two big dudes face each other, it's an ego thing. It always is. It's always who's the bigger, stronger, beastlier, girthier, monstrous man. And whenever I watch matches like that,
any brawlers, that's what you want. That's what you want. Like 93 Halloween Havoc.
Hell yeah. Vader and Guy Jack and they're going today. You got to give me the Tony Schiavone voice for it, man. Spin the wheel, make a deal.
I completely agree. You got to do that shit. You have to. Like, I want to see it. I want to see them kill one another in a ring. Like, well, not really kill one another. Beat the shit out of
one another. No. Killing's fine.
More killing in wrestling. Yes.
More killing in Impact's got that covered, by the way. They're great at it. They kill people left and right on the show. Yeah.
And then we started GoFundMe and they're fixed.
Yeah, everything's fine. You know, big elbow injury. Main event had this thing too, and this match did it too. And WWE's starting to get to the point where it's starting to kind of engrave it into these main event spot matches, where people like Reigns and even Seth to the point now, all these matches are turning into how many signatures and finishers in a row can I hit? And while I thought that was super dope when it first happened, I'm like kind of starting to get over it a little bit because Reigns matches are starting to become, he gets his ass kicked and then four Superman punches and three spears later, he kind of, and Seth did it tonight too with the stomps and stuff. It's just like,
It started with the Brock stuff too, though.
It did.
Like, both of them going up against Brock. Yeah, it started there. I mean, it's the only way to take down the beast and the monster.
Well, by the way, he did slay the beast and he was going to slay a monster.
He slayed the beast. Worst promo ever. And then lost to some random Canadian guy that hasn't won a match in 8 months. So that, you know, that
is true.
There's that whole thing, I guess. And then he ends up beating Braun Strowman later in the evening. Lost to Bobby Roode, but by the way, he beat Braun Strowman 1-on-1. So
Bobby Roode should be number one contender for the Universal title, right?
Oh, yeah. that'll happen.
Oh, it'll happen on Raw, Monday. And then
he's coming out.
He'll beat him, and you know,
glorious. By the way, I deserve my title.
I don't even know how they're going to address the tag team thing. They probably won't even care. They're just like, whatever. They'll move on to the next.
They're
going to
move past. Yeah, it's done. Like
they're just gonna go into like options and then assign the titles to another group.
Yeah, whatever. This will do right here. Yeah, somebody else.
going to my WWE.
Speaking of, where are the Usos? Does anyone know where the Usos are?
They haven't been on TV in like a month.
Did they get punished for the DUI thing?
Maybe.
Well, they didn't. Well, they didn't like the day after.
Yeah,
but...
yeah. No, they didn't. But they. I mean, they definitely lost the feud they were in, and then they just took them off TV.
They haven't been on TV since we were in Chicago and Ango said they were his favorite tag team. Mm.
Yeah, that conversation. Ango, thanks, dude. Now the Usos aren't on TV anymore, man. See what you did?
Great.
You ruin everything,
come
man.
Come on, man. God. Damn it. We had, after we move on from Reigns and Rowan, I mean, of course, I'd love to sit here and talk about Luke Harper for the next half hour, but... I think we pretty much, you know, I have nothing but nice things to say about Luke Harper and his gorgeous hair.
Just getting
and his,
started.
Yeah, it's going to be kick ass, man. Like I always felt like the Super Smash Brothers thing they did was kind of too hokey for them, like bringing hammers.
Yeah, that was
ring.
Very hokey.
Yeah, they just need to be ass kickers, and like that's what we got here. So I'm excited.
This feels like the best version of what they could be together as a tag team.
Yeah. They're scared to push Luke Harper by himself.
Oh, they're going to be killer in Hell in a Cell, both of them. It's going to be dope. That watch.
Do you remember 2016 SmackDown when they were about to push Luke Harper to the fucking moon?
Yes, I do.
That was such, dude. He got so lean and he got like he looked so good and he was just killing it every damn match. Same thing with Chad Gable. Chad Gable was super over that time. 2016 to early 2017 SmackDown will like be remembered along with SmackDown 6 and all that stuff, because that was just a super like good time for SmackDown in general, honestly, between the AJ Dean.
Oh, I even remember I remember all of us talking about it on Twitter all the time that we would watch that and look forward to SmackDown more than Raw. Yeah.
I was legitimately like reviewing that show to a weekly basis, only SmackDown. I didn't watch Raw or anything.
Yeah, I do remember that.
I was only reviewing SmackDown every week. They're like, why don't you do Raw or whatever? Because it ain't fucking this. Like, this is awesome right here, man. This is good TV.
So then what ended up happening with Harper at that time where he just like went to the Bludgeon Brothers? Is that what happened?
No, they just stopped putting him on TV.
And yeah, they just wrote him off.
They switched head writers. Because they switched head writers and they literally switched the entire writing team, and then that's when this might not just died.
And then Road Dogg took over, right? And it was all his fault.
Well, fucking Dewey.
Road Dogg and Ryan Ward were the two head writers at the time, I think. And then
Dewey Foley
switched it all around. And I think the SmackDown team at the time was a lot smaller. So they were able to, and Vince wasn't, you know, he's cutting up the script every week. 15 minutes before the show starts.
SmackDown script is adorable.
Harper didn't be with that D-O-double-G.
Oh, and me and the K quick and the D-O-double-G. And we're here tonight. The three crew.
By the Mooja thing.
Oh,
I was
man.
Watching some of that older stuff with TNA with Kip James and Voodoo Ken Mafia. Kip. And yeah, that was an interesting time of TNA.
It was.
Call 911.
Yes, yes.
Oh man, Roxy LeBeau was super over at that time.
The VKM, dude.
Yeah,
VKM.
But Roxy was super over at the time too, and they like she was like diehard TNA too, because she was like, yeah, I'll shave my head or whatever. They shaved her head after she lost a match, and they just said, fuck it, we'll write you off. That's
man. Tell us in the comments or on Twitter if you want an Impact show. We gotta do it.
Yeah, I think we definitely we do. There's a lot of stuff I need to talk about. A lot of things.
Get off your chest.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. We can even go back to my Catch You on the Flip Side TNA video. We can talk about that. The good old times.
We just make a funny Paparazzi Productions
Marcus,
podcast.
Did you ever see that video when I had it up?
No.
Okay. No. So like I was super pissed at TNA at the time and I stopped watching. And that was like my it. Like I literally did not watch TNA from that point forward until like way later. I'm talking past GFW stuff they were doing. It was probably like 2014 ish where I just gave up. And
so it was right after Mania 31, because I remember Mania 31, we're standing in line outside of NXT, or it might have been Raw, and you had a AJ shirt on at the time, I think.
Yeah, and no, because at the 2K14 event, that was Mania, what was that, 20, 28, 29? I don't remember.
No, 30.
There's no way. Anything? No, I didn't go to 30. So it was 28 or 29. But anyways, I only had TNA shirts, and there was a WWE banquet that night, and they're like, yeah, please buy a WWE shirt. I'm like, I don't fucking want to pay money for a WWE shirt.
You were just so straight.
Yeah, so like, I just got CM Punk and called it a night.
Yeah, you were just so deadpan. You were just like, I can't remember
the year exactly that I did that video. But anyways, it was whenever Chavo Guerrero and they had Chavo Guerrero on screen all the time, and I was like, oh, God, I don't want to watch this. And then they did the gut check thing and they ended up not signing Brian Cage. And I'm like, holy fucking shit. You gotta be kidding me. Like, how did you have Brian Cage on the show and you didn't sign him? Like he had said 100 times that he really, really wanted to sign with Impact. And they're like, they didn't end up picking him up. And I'm like, this is so,
that was the Pope's run, right?
That was right after that Pope run. Pope was still around, okay. But they had finished pushing him at the time. They just had him on the show.
The time when Ric Flair just, shoot like was like yeah you're part of the roster and was
yes
like,
that was with
and Ric Flair.
What was that
Eric
dude?
Young
no it was so gut check they had Ric Flair on the panel with the dudes and they had the I think it was the very first one they did or the second one and they had all obviously like said behind the curtains that they weren't going to sign this guy and they let Ric be the final fucking say so and then Ric went out there and like the kid cut a promo and started crying and shit and Rick's like you know what kid I give you a yes. And everyone's obviously, like, obviously everyone out there is like, what the fuck, Rick?
So wasn't it like Jay Bradley or something?
No. Jay was they picked up Jay. It was like Alex Silva. It was Alex Silva.
Oh my God.
How did I remember that name? Alex Silva was the dude. They'd never used him, by the way. Literally never used this dude. And they were pissed at Rick for allowing him to go through with that. Yep. Wow. Interesting stuff.
Like we said before, we were talking about Ric Flair. Like he's always got something crazy. There's crazy
always a story with Ric Flair.
Impact show. We need to do it.
I agree. So we got to get to the main event here. Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman, where Seth ends up beating him with goddamn near 17 stomps. Like, that's what I was saying. Like, it just stomp. It's like, okay.
Yep.
Braun did a super sweet whole match. Yeah, it was. It truly was. Yeah. Braun did a fucking splash, though. That was cool.
Oh my God, that was awesome.
He was
that
shaking.
Was awesome.
He was scared. He was,
his legs were shaking.
Well, you see how Colts tried to call a frog splash at first? It's like, he didn't do a frog splash. What the fuck are you talking about, man? Did get some air, like Air Braun. Like, dude, I was like, this is sick. But
that was it. Yeah.
Did you notice the crowd started booing when he did like the third stomp?
They did.
They thought it was over and they're like, oh, this sucks. And then he hit the pedigree. The entire time I was like, why not just hit the pedigree? Like, you're obviously the stomps aren't working. Then he did the pedigree. Then he did the stomp.
But you
win.
Knew after he kicked out of the first stomp, you knew that the rest of the match was just going to be stomp after stomp because you've seen Seth do it like 5 times now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the Brock Lesnar formula like we were talking about. It's just like the same. Oh, you got to hit multiple finishes to get him because he's such a big deal.
And it's fine every one. That finish, it kind of finishes fine every once in a while. But when every main event and semi-main is starting to turn into this fucking just fiesta, like at the end of the match, it's just like, all right, dude.
Storing all them finishers.
Yeah, like piss.
Whoever's agenting, they must have like the same agent for all these matches. That's like, well, this is how this is going to go.
I assume they have for the main event, they have a main event agent that kind of, and it just so happens that he works with, you know, the bigger dudes like Braun and Reigns and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't even know who the agents are anymore because most of them left to go to AEW.
Right.
I don't know who it is anymore. Maybe Road Dogg's in there helping them or something. I don't know. Terry Taylor maybe might still be around.
Is he around or is he in AEW?
He might be in AEW. I mean, Dean left, Arn left, Tony Schiavone's in AEW. Is Bruce Pritchard in WWE?
Yeah, yes.
He might help with that. I'm not too sure, honestly. Yeah, we were talking about Arn Anderson's show on the last episode where yeah, Arn has all the equipment. So, no, did he actually make an episode already?
Let me see. I don't know.
I saw him with the Shure SM7B. I said, get it, Arn!
Yeah, get that good quality right before.
Yeah, that's that dude right there. That's nice. We actually have a YouTube clip coming out where we talked about Jim Ross and his technology. Jim Ross with his podcast where he called in on a brick and said, hey, it's me, Jim Ross. I'm excited for that one. But
no, I don't think it is.
Yeah, yet. He'll come out with one soon, I'm sure. Conrad's got
I think they were just recording it because they had that photo go up with like his mixer and then his Shure SM7B or whatever.
We're going neck and neck with Arn Anderson, baby. Deadlock versus Arn Anderson.
Five stars only.
If his podcast doesn't start like that, I almost forgot.
My God.
Oh, my God, it's Arn.
My God. I almost forgot the Horror Horseman. Ric Flair, get on down here. That's one of my favorite Arn segments ever, by the way, is that I can't remember where they were at. I think it might have been on the beach or something. I don't remember. It wasn't on the beach, but it was like an outside arena. And Arn Anderson comes down and cuts like a 15-minute promo. I think I just got dementia, man. I don't know. There's something wrong with my head. I'd taken too many bumps or something like that. And then all of a sudden, he just perks up and he goes, my God, I almost forgot the Fourth Horseman. Ric Flair, get on down here. It's easily one of my favorite Four Horsemen things
in Charlotte?
Ever.
No?
I don't remember. I just remember the arena looking very spaced out. It probably wasn't even outside, to be honest. But the arena was like super spaced out. It might have been an open-top arena or something. And it just felt like it was. And that was like easily, I'll never forget that ever. I'll never forget that segment. It's just like WCW stuff. There's some of it that just like is awesome. Like I'll never classic. Forget the wall being on a fucking a Sheraton hotel.
That's the wall,
40 miles out.
That's the wall, brother.
They just stop mid-conversation. Wait a minute. Who is that? And then Hulk Hogan looks over and he has like super vision. What? That's a wall, brother. That's a wall right there, brother.
They did like the original Okada zoom with their camera. Like,
yeah, they got in there, man. And he's just sitting over there like doing the choke slam thing. Oh, he's going to choke slam Hogan off the top of the Sheraton. It's just like, oh my God.
Didn't he murder Hogan? Or didn't Hogan die at one point by the Big Show?
Yeah, the Giant threw him off the top of a building.
And then he just walks out during the main event later that night or something.
He came back from the dead at Halloween Havoc. No, I'm kidding.
That might have been the same feud where the Giant and Hulk Hogan were fighting monster trucks.
That's the same. That's where he got thrown off is the monster truck.
Yes,
that's right.
That's what happened.
Yes,
they had like a dude.
The monster truck sumo battle.
They had dudes in there like pressing the pedals and stuff, and they just had the.
And
Giant
then they sold.
Hogan.
They sold the monster trucks as toys too.
Oh, did they really? Damn, I bet you can still find them and stuff. Wow.
That was like a Medusa deal, wasn't it? Because wasn't she big into monster trucks and stuff?
Yeah, she was. She was the monster truck gal.
Didn't she own a monster truck? She owned a monster truck.
Yeah, she was actually like a professional monster truck driver. So yeah she was definitely into it.
That's dope.
Yeah, there's actually a lot. People can show on WCW if you want, but y'all are losers. There's a bunch of cool stuff.
Let's just make a WCW podcast, a TNA podcast. We got it all.
Retro wrestling, man. Just in general, there's a bunch of cool shit we could talk about.
WCW is fucking awesome. I don't care what anybody says.
Y'all are geeks if you don't like it. Let me tell you something. Ain't nothing going to tell you. Hometowns on 1993.
Back in my day.
1993, the Texas Deathmatch veteran kind of died. I'm going to get on it. Spin the wheel, make a deal now, brother.
Let me tell you.
So overall, what did you guys think of
The Fiend? We didn't even talk about The Fiend.
What's there to talk about, man? He came up, he did his thing, and he left. It did what it was supposed to do.
The cameraman showed up. Did you see the cameraman?
Yes. I know Vince was pissed at that. I know he was pissed.
The best part about the Fiend showing up was now we saw the mask where the mandible moves, kind of like that Chewbacca lady mask where it's he was yelling and was like, rah, rah.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping he wouldn't show up, though, honestly.
Yeah, I knew it was. Yeah,
you said that. You said that on the last show. You're like, I hope he doesn't show up. Just because,
like, when he showed up, I was like, too much overexposure. Cool, the Fiend. But it's just like at the same time, I'm like, oh, it's the Fiend. Like, man, the less Fiend, it makes it a lot cooler. There is some genuine shit in wrestling that doesn't need to be seen every week. It's almost like
the Fiend's one of them.
Yeah, he is the prime example of that. So I was kind of
Brock is another.
Where is Brock?
WWE doesn't understand. WWE doesn't understand overexposure. They're just like, oh,
they have too much content.
What are you talking about? If they don't, like, Brock gets shit for it not being on TV. Everybody's like, oh, Brock's not a fighting champion. He's not on TV. I'm like, the only way Brock is good is if you don't put him on TV and you see him once a quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because then it's special.
Brock climbed a ladder, so he's cool in my books. He literally boomboxed
the Money in the Bank. Okay,
yeah. You remember that one time at Mania 31, we were all going down backstage through the hall, and Brock passes by, and everybody's just like, "Holy shit!"
Yeah, because you guys said,
we were like, "Was that Brock Lesnar?"
Yeah, you guys said, "No, don't look like marks." I'm like, "How am I supposed to not look like a mark compared to Brock Lesnar? What the fuck am I supposed to do here?" Hey, Brock, I got my NXT replica belt with me, brother. Yeah. All the boys said, bring the NXT championship belt. And I'm like, okay, I'll bring it.
Wearing your Samoa Joe t-shirt, walking with the NXT title.
You walk in with that belt, and Bryce goes, all right, we're walking backstage. Like, what?
Yeah, he said, we're walking to the backstage area. There's going to be some WWE superstars.
Was that the same time where they were like drug sniffing dogs, and then Tubby was like afraid he was going to get arrested?
Yes, it was on the bus. Yes. It was on the bus. Hey, yes. Are we good, dude? I'm like, they're bombs. You got a bomb, dude? Like, no, you're good.
We're going to die. Yeah. Dogs are gonna get us. We're not gonna go to Mania.
It turns out that he just had a pie bomb. The pie is a bomb. I'm glad everything turned out okay for him. He was very shooketh. he was not bombs.
He was so sweat. He was like sweating over there. He's like, we're gonna get arrested.
Like, God, no,
Brock will be back though. Hell in the Cells next month, and then Survivor Series. Brock will be back.
Isn't he the SmackDown boy now? Right, he's gonna get traded to SmackDown.
Oh. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely happening.
Yeah, he might.
Wait, how will that even work?
Will the Fiend be drafted? Will the Fiend be drafted?
But how will that even work with Heyman on Raw?
Heyman's just a character. He can show up on SmackDown. It's fine.
Oh, I mean, Heyman's now that role you got me thinking.
Is not real.
Now Heyman's you got me thinking, dude. Real, what is the Fiend an actual, like, is he like a entity or is he a person? Like, what, do you draft the Fiend? Like, I feel like you don't draft the Fiend. I feel like the Fiend goes where
that's
the Fiend
true.
Wants to go.
When is
right,
Hell in a Cell?
Like,
when is
it's
Hell
not
in
like
a
you
cell?
Get up on a podium and go, we draft the Fiend.
Thank you to the Fiend for joining Team Raw. He comes out there, gets a Raw hat and puts it on.
Like,
yeah.
Like Vince on one side and Ric Flair on the other. I draft the Fiend. He's wearing like a blue SmackDown shirt wrestling
down
in the ring.
Yeah, Vince comes down to the ring, introduces everybody on Raw. They play Nickelback's theme, and Fiend comes walking down in the Raw t-shirt with everyone else.
Giving a thumbs
and all
up.
The Raw superstars are in the back watching TV, like cheering, like they got the Fiend, yeah.
That's the worst thing. That's very cursed.
So October 6th is Hell in a Cell. The draft is October 11th.
Huh. Well, the timetable's kind of
the first night.
That works out.
So the first night is SmackDown for the draft, which is weird because they usually do Raw first.
So you're
first.
Telling me then the Fiend's first match, I mean the first title match, he's going to lose in Hell in a Cell. Right.
How do you
draft?
Yeah, if he wins the championship, you have to draft him. Or you know what
right.
I mean? Like,
right.
Yeah, so like he can't win, right? Because you have to draft the champion.
Maybe Brock comes in and he'll come in and Hell in the Cell and stop the match or something.
Rip the door off.
Pull a cane, yeah.
He'll just beat the fuck out of the Fiend and make him look like a little clown and then we'll call it a day. It doesn't matter who's the Fiend.
He'll get drafted to SmackDown. SmackDown locker room cheers.
Fiend will become a little bitch and then, yeah, he'll get drafted. Team Raw for life, baby. He's a company man, the Fiend. Nothing gets him harder than helping the company.
That's good stuff. He's wearing
Team Raw t-shirts.
Yowie wowie. Yeah.
He's like Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah. He gets cocked all the time. God, yeah, that's great.
He wears like Raw t-shirts every week and like pay-per-view t-shirts.
Nothing makes me prouder than being signed by the best wrestling company in the world. Quote by the Fiend.
Thumbs we up. See him out at IHOP. It'd be perfect.
He threatens to kill like somebody at commentary.
He's sitting. He's sitting with Dreamer out at IHOP. Fucking full stack. Oh man. Oh man. We're story creator. We need to destroy the Fiend.
Team Raw Fiend with the red t-shirt. Oh my god.
Here's how you lose all momentum for the Fiend. Draft him. It's totally happened. The fucking Titantron's gonna spin. All the superstars are gonna go through and it's gonna be the Fiend.
Eric Bischoff is gonna
do it.
Oh man.
There's music hits. His
music hits. Paul Heyman, ladies and gentlemen, just waves.
He just waves.
My God! I almost forgot the fourth horseman! The Fiend! Get on down here!
Oh, my stomach hurts. He just takes off the mask and he's just
we just
Bray
buried the Fiend in like 5 minutes.
What if they draft Bray to SmackDown and the Fiend to Raw?
As far as I'm concerned, Fiend in the Raw shirt's more over than the Fiend right now. So it's all good. I think it works out.
After, I think that's the only after way. Brock destroys him in Hell in a Cell, by the way.
Yeah, Brock gotta whoop his ass. Make him humble. Where you think you're at, bitch?
The Fiend is going to Raw. Team Raw t-shirt.
Dude, I'd pop for that shit, actually, if Brock did that.
Yeah, like, this, like he is not scared of this stupid-ass, like, light shit at all. Like, Brock just beats the brakes off him. He turns the lights
Brock
off.
Brock just climbs a ladder for no reason.
So Brock comes into Hell and so the lights turn off, and then comes back on. He's got the Fiend in a Kimura lock going, bitch, bitch.
The Brock lock on top of a ladder.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how you get the Fiend over, baby. That's how you know it. That's pro wrestling in a nutshell.
Turn him into Tommy Dreamer. That's how you get the Fiend over.
Incredible.
I am sweating from that.
Yeah, I actually have a headache. I think I'm starting
all right,
to come
Pedro,
off,
get on that artwork with the Brock.
No, please get Pedro. Okay, we're
selling
not,
limited
we can't
edition
put this
prints.
Up. We can't put this up until Pedro makes the Fiend thumbs up Raw shirt. We can't. No, it's got to be. He has to make the Fiend thumbs up Raw shirt.
Like the Batista thumbs up, thumbs down.
That's going to be my profile pic.
I'll message him right now. Go.
Oh
quick.
My God. Please.
We need to t-shirt thumbs up.
I'm doing it right now.
Oh, he's got to have the Batista like SmackDown contract, like clipboard thing on the Fiend's hand. Oof.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, I'm crying. I am crying right now. Oh.
Make this the Fiend in a Raw shirt.
I'm so sad that we're not going to be able to have that as a show cover for the show, but we're definitely going to post that. Like, that's
you
gotta
can't
be posted.
Imagine that it's not like it's going to happen. Fiend's getting drafted.
The Fiend in a red Raw t-shirt. He's got to be drafted Raw, right?
Yes.
Blue's just not his color.
Yes, has to be. Yes, absolutely.
Blue's just not his color.
Thumbs up with a Raw shirt. Absolutely, that's the way to go. I love it. Incredible. So overall, how many pro wrestling stars do you guys give this?
Out of 10, right? We got double the Meltzer rating.
15 now, I think. We increased it.
15. I give it a that did what it was supposed to do rating.
Yep, and that's all we need to hear, baby. It did what it's supposed to do. At the end of the day, that's all you can ask for.
Yeah.
If you were to build
seven
a wrestling
a
company
stars.
From the ground up, it would be WWE.
No, but Becky and Sasha definitely match of the night. Dope stuff. I just hated the finish.
It was the dopest match till Rowan and Roman happened for me. And then I was like, that took over because the finish didn't suck.
I liked when Roman ran all the way up the entrance ramp. I was like, if he's going to run down the entire entrance ramp and spear.
He gave her the ooh-ah on top, too.
Ooh-ah! And then out came Harper, and it was just, I was like, wait, who's that?
That was dope.
Whose man's that? It was dope.
Good. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I think
that was WWE cock.
I think people are gonna.
That was WWE cock.
People are probably going to be up in arms, prepared for the Fiend with a Raw shirt with the thumbs up. So we're going to have to deliver on that on Twitter. Sadly, it can't be the show cover. I apologize to everyone who's watching on iTunes or Spotify.
We don't know. Who knows? It could happen.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Pedro is still up, but I doubt it.
We got Walter with a crab claw. I mean, Fiend with a Raw shirt doesn't sound any far-fetched, is that?
All right, everybody. Thank you guys for watching our after show here on WWE Cock. Well, I give this show one Fiend with a Raw shirt thumbs up. You'll love to see it, baby. So, anyways, like I said, if you want to support the show, if you want to do it, you know, on Patreon, you can. If you want to just leave 5-star review with the rating and all that, that's also another way. Or just tell us how much you love it, baby. And
we'll
we will catch you guys.
We'll get to the gimmicks on the next episode.
Yes, we will do the Patreon gimmicks on the next episode. We got you, boys. We got to come up with them, baby. Got to get back into the magic grind and come up with something cool, like the Dairy King, Dan Wolf. new episode should be up next Saturday. I think that's usually when we're about to do it. Video version probably be up Sunday-ish usually. Times will probably change based on, we got to kind of figure out with SmackDown changing to Fox, NXT coming up.
Yeah.
Things might change.
We got some good shit coming everyone's way.
Yeah.
Editorial next week. We have some other shows in the
books. Yes, we have so much cool
like,
stuff.
Yeah.
So much cool stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We have a fall shirt coming out at some point, hopefully in the next couple of months too. We got really, really cool stuff coming up. So stay tuned for all that stuff. Of course, stay tuned for the next episode. This is a weekly show, so at some point, some episode's coming out. So you just got to watch out for that.
Are we covering the NXT debut? Is that one of on
well,
our
yeah,
list?
I think, you know, we won't cover it immediately after, but it will be when we do the show next week. So
right.
The weekly.
Yeah, but we'll be covering
look forward
that,
to our NXT talk about how much James loves Johnny Gargano.
We love Johnny Gargano in a Raw shirt thumbs up. So anyway, thank you guys once again, and we look forward to seeing you here next time when we come live again with another episode of the Deadlock Podcast.